And now for something completely different.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Let's do it.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. With you till 3 on this Thursday afternoon as we throw things back and get ready for the weekend with plenty to do over the next couple of hours. Coming up, what a bombshell yesterday. Oklahoma and Texas maybe looking to join the SEC. What's the who's, what, where, when, why? We'll get to all of it, break it all down. What does it mean for the Big 12, for the SEC, even for the Gamecocks? Also, is the quote-unquote biggest concern for Clemson actually a concern? Which NFL teams are the best set up for the next 3 years? Which NFL teams have the best group of offensive talent? Which sports team will be the next to end their title drought after Milwaukee the other night? Plus, Nick Saban responds to Deion Sanders' freakout. A recruiting update. We'll catch up with a member of the Charleston Battery later on. And I have a note that I wrote to myself from over 20 years ago. And I think I may just read it on the air a little bit later on. We'll also get to our wrestling wrap-up. I got some River Dog tickets we have to give away. Maybe we'll do that today. And a whole lot more over the next couple of hours. You can always join the conversation. You can give us a call, 843-721-9500 to give us a call. You can always text the show, 843-608-1734. Get to us on Twitter at Morrow Middays, on Facebook at ESPN Charleston, via email, studio at kirkmanbroadcasting.com, or online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Your one-stop shop. Head on over to charlestonsportsradio.com, and there you can leave a comment for the show just by clicking on our show page. You can find the latest versions of our show podcasted right there on the show page. Or you could take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go by simply streaming us online at charlestonsportsradio.com. With you till 3 on this Thursday, Joe's on the steel wheels. Joe, what's going on? How are you?
Oh, the only thing better than Friday Eve is Friday, and that's in the future.
That's right.
Right, but it's still going quite well. About you?
Okay, good. Not bad. By the way, we won't be here tomorrow. Joe, I don't know if you got the memo, but no show tomorrow.
No one tells me anything.
Well, so here's the thing. I'm off tomorrow. I'll be out of town for the weekend. And I was trying to be really good, because I can be very last minute with things. And from a professional standpoint, that's not always great. So I was really good about this. I sent an email over a month ago. About 6 weeks ago, I got really out in front of it. I said, here's my dates. I already know I'm going to be off this summer, right? Because if you listen to the show, you know I took some time off around Father's Day. Took a trip that weekend as well. I'll be out of town this weekend. So I sent the email. I said, here's the dates. I'm giving you a heads up. These couple of weeks, or this weekend in June, this weekend in July, I'm not going to be here. I was really good about it. Got an email back. Okay, thanks for letting us know. All good. No problem. Even had a conversation in person. The bosses said, oh, yep, that's fine. No problem. You know, have fun. Yada, yada, yada. Anyways, fast forward to this week. I was trying to find the bosses this week just to remind them, hey, not going to be here Friday. And I really didn't have a conversation all week. And then when I came in today, I saw a program director and I made sure. I stopped and said, hey, by the way, just reminding you, I'm not here tomorrow. He didn't remember. He said, what? You got to tell me this. I said, I sent an email 6 weeks ago. I let you know. To avoid this exact situation, I had to give you a heads up. So anyways, long story short, yeah, everyone forgot. So I'm not here tomorrow. Joe's just finding out now because we forgot. I guess I sent the email too soon. I was trying to be too good. Right? I wanted to give enough of a heads up. Maybe it was too much of a heads up because I'm guilty of that too. You tell me something about a month from now, I'm not going to remember that. That's why I don't make plans in advance. You want to invite me to your wedding? I'll let you know how I'm feeling the week of, if I'm going to come to your wedding. Like, oh, yeah, we got that wedding on. I don't really want to make that trip. You know what? I'm out. And I don't like to plan that far in advance. But I was trying to be a responsible employee. So anyways, I'm not here tomorrow. We'll be back on Monday. So for us, this is like kicking off the weekend. And then we'll be back on Monday to recap anything that happens from over the weekend. So with you till 3 here on this Thursday with plenty to do. Let's start with this this big bombshell that seemingly came out of nowhere yesterday with these reports about Texas and Oklahoma looking to leave the Big 12 to join the SEC. And I found it interesting. I'll have to find the exact quotes. But we didn't get denials from anyone involved. Greg Sankey put out a comment, something along the lines of, well, we're only going to focus on this year. And I think he also said, like, we're not going to talk about anonymous reports, which isn't a no. Right? That's whenever you have a non-answer, it usually means yes. We're seeing this a lot of times with, well, I guess it depends on the context, because we're seeing this a lot with athletes right now about the vaccine. Mike Leach refused to answer if he was vaccinated or not at SEC Media Days. Probably means he isn't. That's why he doesn't want to say it. Just like a lot of people didn't want to admit who they voted for in the presidential election because, you know, people look at them a certain way. So you don't want to admit it. Same idea here. If there was nothing behind this report, Greg Sankey could just say, no, that's ridiculous. We've had no conversations. We're not looking to expand, yada, yada, yada. He didn't deny it. Oklahoma didn't deny it. Texas didn't deny it. They didn't confirm it. They didn't say, yeah, we're looking to move to the SEC. But they all gave us these PR comments of like, oh, we're not talking about that right now. Right? Which imagine if you stepped out on the wife and you came home and she said, you know, like, where were you? Were you with that other person? You know what? We're not talking about that right now. Let's focus on today instead. Or let's focus on tomorrow. All right, whatever. It's some garbage answer. You think that's going to go over well? It's obviously the non-answer is its own answer. So, and I'll have to try to find the exact quotes to give you the words verbatim. But Greg Sankey gave a non-answer, which really was an answer. Texas, Oklahoma, they all gave these. If it's untrue, if there's nothing behind this, if there's no interest, they would just simply come out and say, oh, that's ridiculous. We're not looking to go anywhere. Instead, it's a lot of, well, we're focused on this. We're not talking about that right now. We're focused on the upcoming season.
A lot of word salad.
Yes, word salad. That's right. So to me, that tells me there's something behind this. This would be a win for Texas and Oklahoma to go to the SEC. It'd be a win to join that conference. You make more money. Things get better. The last time we had big conference realignment was 10 years ago. Texas A&M and Missouri made this move, joined the SEC. And if you go back and you look, Texas A&M, as soon as they went into the SEC, they improved. That was when Kevin Sumlin took over. His first year in the job was their first year in the SEC. Here comes Johnny Manziel. The Texas A&M had some of their best years. They were under 500 with Mike Sherman. They left the Big 12, joined the SEC. Things turned around. Since then, improved facilities, give Jimbo Fisher $100 million, get a better basketball coach. They have more money to spend. Missouri joins the SEC. In years 2 and 3 in the SEC, Missouri wins double-digit games. First time in a long time, they won over 10 games in back-to-back years. So not only were they better on the football field, better off it. Same idea. Missouri, they have upgraded facilities. They've been able to pay basketball coaches better, have improved their basketball program, more money coming in. Be able to go get better coaches for the football team. That's what happens when you join the SEC. Is it tougher to win? Yes. Will it be tougher for Texas to try to win a national title out of the SEC? Yes. But in the same sense, it could also help because even for a Texas who has their own network and is one of the biggest brands and they make more money than almost any other program in college football, you'll still make more just by being in the SEC or being part of the SEC. And then by making even more money, you can hire better coaches, you can get better facilities, you can do this, you can do that. It helps you improve your programs, which therefore, theoretically, should help you try to be more successful on the field or court as well. For Oklahoma, I think it'll be more challenging to try to win in the SEC. But we've seen a lot of times, and I always try to remind you here on the air, that sports really are just big business. College is no different. It's the same idea in professional sports. I remember doing a segment on the show probably 2 years ago where the Cleveland Browns, since Jimmy Haslam, now the Cleveland Browns made the playoffs this past year, but when I did this segment, the Browns were still like a 1-15 team. And the Cleveland Browns, at that time, once Jimmy Haslam bought the team, they were, from a winning percentage, the worst team in the league. And yet the worth of the franchise at least doubled. So even though they were the worst producing, worst functioning, the worst operating team in their industry, right, in the NFL, Jimmy Haslam still doubled his money. And my point at the time was, some of these NFL owners don't care what they do on the field. Do you think James Dolan, owner of the Knicks, really cares if they win a championship or not? The Knicks haven't won a championship in 50 years. And you know what the most valuable franchise in the NBA is? It's the Knicks. Do you really think James Dolan cares if they win or not? He's making money hand over fist. And he's an owner. It's a business. He owns the team to make money. not to win championships. If you asked any owner, hey, would you rather lose money and win a championship or make money and not win a championship, they're all going to say, make money. That's what we're in this business for. That's why we own the team. And so my point being, when it comes to these colleges as well, this would be another example of some schools putting finances over winning. If you want to go try to win, I think you stand a better chance, especially if you're Oklahoma, in the Big 12. All you have to do is really get past Texas. You win the conference, you're in the playoff. You go into the SEC, we know about the gauntlet of the SEC. You're going to make more money, you're going to get better facilities, you'll be able to get better coaches, this, that, all that sort of stuff. But I think it's a tougher path to win. And we see that a lot of times in sports, that teams, programs, schools will make decisions based more on money than actual winning. Right? Like Missouri, Texas A&M, even Texas A&M, they've increased their on-field product in the SEC. But like a Missouri, where do they stand the better chance? Probably not in the SEC. They're trying to build that thing up. They had a couple of good years when they first joined the SEC. Conference championship, all the game at least, all that stuff. But where do you stand the better chance year over year? Not in the SEC. Especially not with Saban and Alabama there, and not with it being the best conference in football. But regardless, this is a win for Texas, or would be a win for Texas, Oklahoma. It would be a win for the SEC. Already the best conference in football, and now you would be adding two of the biggest brands in college football as well. The rich would be getting richer. At that point, it'd be almost ridiculous. It'd be the SEC and then really everyone else. It'd be the SEC and then Ohio State and Clemson, and that's about it. And the SEC, you'd have Alabama, you'd have Georgia, you'd have Florida, you'd have Texas, you'd have Oklahoma. It would be absurd. And the obvious big loser in all of this hypothetical would, of course, be the Big 12. There would be no more Big 12. You couldn't exist without Texas and Oklahoma. I don't know what it would mean for Kansas, say, basketball. I grew up a UConn fan. UConn was going to join in the Big Ten when they took Rutgers instead. And the reason why they didn't take UConn, look, UConn has turned themselves into a blue blood for basketball. The reason why they didn't take UConn is because their football isn't good enough. So Kansas may be one of the greatest basketball programs or traditions we have, but their football program is even worse than UConn's was at the time. It's a complete joke. And football is what moves the needle, not basketball. So if this were to occur, and by the way, when we talk about this, it probably wouldn't happen until the contract is up in 2025. It's not like this is going to happen in the next couple of months. As I understand it, it can't happen for 4 years. When the contracts are up, then everyone, they're like free agents. They can go wherever. And if they want to negotiate a move to the SEC and the SEC allows it, then there you go. You're off. So it's not like this is right around the corner. But for, say, a Kansas, if this were to happen, these teams were to leave, the Big 12 would be done. There wouldn't be a Big 12. What would that mean for a Kansas? I don't know. Because if they try to join, say, the Big 10, whatever, pick a conference, they may be willing to have them, but a lot of times it comes down to football. That's why they took Rutgers, because even though Rutgers basketball is much worse than UConn, at the time, Greg Schiano, Ray Rice, right, the football program was better than UConn. They said, yeah, we'd rather have Rutgers than UConn. And that's why UConn wound up in the American, and now they're an independent. It always comes down to football. And Kansas, their football program is a complete joke. Where would Kansas wind up? I have no idea. But we'll get to all that down the road, because this, again, is still a ways away, and it's a hypothetical. Now, why would this be happening? Well, as I said, again, Texas and Oklahoma, it'd be a better move for them to go to the SEC. But could this be just a move for leverage? Right? How did this get out? This story was leaked yesterday. And whenever we get an anonymous story like this, my piece of advice is always consider who it would benefit, because that's whoever is putting it out. The Big 12 wouldn't want this to get out. Doesn't look good on them. I don't think the SEC would put this out. They would benefit from having Texas and Oklahoma come to their conference. But it's SEC Media Week. We're getting. I don't think Greg Sankey and company would leak this story. Maybe while they're all together in Alabama, you know, in Alabama, and you can talk to them about it. I just wouldn't see it. I don't think this comes from the SEC. Where does this come from? Probably Texas. Also consider the timing that this was leaked right before Texas A&M and Jimbo Fisher was supposed to speak at Media Days. And what became the biggest story? No longer anything Jimbo Fisher had to say. We're now talking about Texas and Oklahoma instead. And at the SEC Media Days, where that's supposed to be the big day, again, no longer was about Texas A&M. Now you're talking about Texas at the SEC Media Days. And we know Texas, Texas A&M, they're the competitors in that state. So where did this report come from? I would guess a source with Texas football. That would just be my guess. They're the ones that put this out, and they did it at this time intentionally. Put it out now while everyone's in Alabama gathering for SEC Media Days, and do it right before Texas A&M and Jimbo's supposed to talk. so that we take all the attention away from one of our in-state competitors at their own day, right? It's like if you went to, I don't know, somebody's birthday party and instead announced at the birthday party that you're pregnant. And you take, and everyone comes, oh my God, you're amazing. And they rub your stomach, right? And you take all the attention away from the birthday person. That's like what was going on their day. You go there to their event on their day. It's almost like out of the rest, this is almost like a wrestling move where you used to go to like a, you know, ECW would send wrestlers to a big event at the WWF at the time and take away the attention. You go spoil their day, steal their attention on their big day. That's why I think this came from Texas. It was supposed to be Texas A&M's 15 minutes of spotlight at SEC Media Days. Okay, Jimbo's talking. Let's all focus on the Aggies. And, oh, wait a minute. What is this report on Texas? And they're all gathered. All the SEC media members are already gathered there. And they could talk about it amongst themselves and on the SEC network. Ooh, what about this bombshell? Texas wants to come join the conference in Oklahoma. So I say all that because I think Texas put this report out. Now, why would they want it out this far in advance? Because it could just be a leverage play. Now, you wouldn't think that Texas would need a whole lot of leverage. They already have the Longhorn Network. They make tons of money. But when this contract is up with the Big 12, it's a way for Oklahoma and Texas, the two powerhouses of that conference, to try to negotiate a way to get more from the Big 12. That when they strike up that new deal for 2025 and beyond, they get a larger percentage of the pie, or they get this or they get that, whatever their needs or requests may be. I'm not saying there's nothing behind this or that Texas and Oklahoma may not actually be interested in joining the SEC, but I could also see it being a leak from Texas because of the timing and doing it now, this far in advance, to just build their leverage. Because the Big 12 knows, yeah, without them, we are screwed. Texas, Oklahoma, whatever you guys want to stay, we'll give it to you. And now they have plenty of time to negotiate and to give their offer, have it be rebuffed by the Big 12, come back with a counter, all that sort of stuff. Work things out instead of doing it when the contract comes up in a crunch. Now you have plenty of time to figure this out and try to get more out of your conference if you're Texas and Oklahoma. If I had to predict here years in the future, I don't think Texas and Oklahoma will join the SEC. I also don't think they'll be able to get the votes to join the SEC. According to SEC bylaws, in order for this to happen, you would need 11 of the current 14 schools in the SEC to vote in favor of extending offers to Texas and Oklahoma. But Texas A&M left to go to the SEC in large part to get away from these schools, specifically Texas. And it'd be like if you had that person always following you around, right? Maybe you're at a party and there's that one person that they're just like socially awkward. They can't take a sign and they're always talking to you and they're really boring or they're obnoxious or maybe they're offensive and you want to get away from them. So you make up some sort of excuse like, ooh, let me go grab, I'm going to go get some punch. I'll catch up with you later. Let me go see if they have any more deviled eggs, whatever it is. And you walk away. And then as you're going over to the punch table, right, a few minutes later, he comes wandering over and he's talking to you. And it's like, oh, just get away from me. Somebody that won't leave you alone. That would be Texas here to Texas A&M. Texas A&M left the conference and went to the SEC. They said, Texas, we are getting away from you. And now, just a couple years later, decade later, now here comes Texas coming over, waddling over to the punch bowl, bothering you again, saying, hey, you know what? We'd actually like to come into this conference as well. I don't think Texas A&M would vote for it to happen. In fact, reports yesterday were that Texas A&M and Missouri are already out on this. They're not interested. They would vote no. So that would be 14 and 13. Now you have 12 teams left. 11 of them would have to vote to allow Texas and Oklahoma in. So if two other teams say no thanks, it wouldn't happen, according to these reports. And let's remember, in years past, Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, and Kentucky have banded together to agree to vote against any other schools in their state. Right? South Carolina would not want Clemson in the conference. Florida would not want, say, a Florida State or a Miami. Georgia wouldn't want a Georgia Tech. Kentucky wouldn't want a Louisville. They want to be the only teams in their state because that's a real advantage. We're the only team in the state in the best conference. So those four teams are already together. If Texas A&M comes to them and says, hey, we don't want any other teams in our state, those four now could become five with Texas A&M, and they say, yep, we know exactly what you're talking about. To keep this band together so that we never have to worry about this happening to us, we're going to vote in your favor. And now you have five teams right there that could vote no. That's enough to keep this from happening. So will Texas and Oklahoma ever join the SEC? If I had to give you a guess today, July 22nd, 2021, I don't think it will happen. I think the Big 12 will bend over backwards to keep them. I think the teams in the SEC wouldn't even vote to let it happen. but I think it's a very interesting thought and certainly will be a big topic in the coming years until we get some sort of resolution with all of this. Texas A&M left for a reason. They would be another big loser. Right? The winners would be Oklahoma and Texas, certainly the SEC, and the losers in all this, of course, would be the Big 12, and it'd be some of the teams like, say, Texas A&M and Missouri, maybe a Kansas, everyone else in the Big 12, right? Probably all the other teams. Even like an Alabama, you don't want things to be tougher. I don't think Nick Saban cares. He's confident enough that, you know, he believes they could beat anybody. But the SEC is tough enough. Do you really want your path to be any tougher? But the big winners are the SEC bosses or the conference itself, Texas and Oklahoma, if this were to happen. And that's really it. Everyone else would kind of lose out. I think even for us fans, it would be kind of bad because all the power would be in the SEC. I don't think that's good. Right, we already talked about the sport being dominated by the same conference or the same teams. This would only power that conference. This would be like the Brooklyn Nets going out and getting LeBron James this offseason. It's like, man, they already had the best trio in the league, and now they're only getting stronger. And the Nets are already the favorites next year. They'd be even more favored. Just like the SEC is already the best conference, now you're going to give them Oklahoma and Texas as well. They'll only become even greater. I don't know if it's a great endgame for most involved, including us college football fans. I also don't think it's going to happen. But it is very intriguing to think or talk about. Coming up, speaking of which, if those two were to join the SEC would not be booting any teams out. But it does bring up an interesting question. If they had to make room for Oklahoma and Texas, which two teams could be on the cutting block, or the chopping block there, in the SEC? We'll get to that coming up. Plus, in regards to Clemson, I keep hearing about this great concern for Clemson. Is it really a concern? Get to that coming up as well. It's the Moore Midday Show, right here on ESPN Radio.
It's Throwback Thursday.
What's today? It's Thursday.
Really? Feels like Tuesday.
Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
If the SEC, in a hypothetical world, had to make room for Oklahoma and Texas, who would get cut to allow those two to come in? It's the Moore Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Plus, coming up in a little bit, I keep hearing about this big concern with Clemson in the upcoming football season, and I think it's just kind of wasting time talking about. Get to that a little bit later on as well. It is a Throwback Thursday. I have a letter I wrote to myself over 20 years ago that got sent to me this week. Why not? Maybe we'll read it on air later on. I got it with me. I brought it in today. It's show and tell today here at work and here on the Moore Midday Show. We may get to that coming up later on a Throwback Thursday. Now, Joe, you're an Oklahoma fan. So if Oklahoma were to say, hey, we're joining the SEC, what would you think about that move?
I would say, okay, when are they coming to Columbia to play Carolina?
Ooh. Because you want an easy win, right? Is that why?
Well, I want to see them play, too.
Oh, yeah, okay, that too. All right, of course. Would you prefer them to be in the SEC or the Big 12?
I think they'd have to take a look at the financial situation. Like you said, this may just be a leverage play, you know, to try to, you know, maybe gain, you know, some, you know, additional benefits with the Big 12. But who knows? I mean, like you said, we've been getting nothing but word salad from every party involved.
That's right. I meant to look up those quotes. I'll find those about what Sankey said in Oklahoma and Texas. It was a whole lot of nothing. And they didn't deny anything, right? If something's untrue, you would deny it. When people accuse me of something that I know is not true, no, I never did. I'm coming out guns a-blazing. They'll be saying, well, how come you're getting so defensive? Because it's not true. That's why. But if something was true and I couldn't, you know, there's another, I can't deny it. They got me. Then you try to just work your way around it. You try to tie them in knots with your words instead of just saying, no, that's not true. You come, well, you know, this, that. Just simply say yes or no. And if they can't say that, I think it leans to there's something going on behind the scenes. But as I said, I'm making my official prediction today. And we'll do a where I was right, where I was wrong segment maybe 4 years from now and circle back to this. I don't think Oklahoma and Texas will actually join the SEC. I think this is for leverage. Now, you may say, again, right, why do they need more money? Well, that's also why they'd be going to the SEC in the first place, is for more money. And you would think Texas, Oklahoma, great brands. Texas has the Longhorn Network. They're doing just fine. But it's also, you know, tell Jeff Bezos he's doing just fine. And these people, you never want, you can never have enough money. You always want more. Texas, Oklahoma, also, by the way, Texas has really struggled for the last 15 years. And Oklahoma, as good as they've been in the Big 12 when it comes to competing for a national title, they haven't fared well. So if you get a little more money out of a deal with the Big 12, or even say by moving to the SEC, right, then you can improve your facilities even more. You can get better assistant coaches. You can better yourself that way. Try to get even better recruits because of the upgrade in facilities or because of this or that or better coaching staff. You bring in a better recruit, whoever it may be. That could help make the difference as well. So I'm making my official prediction today. I don't think it ever happens. I think it is just for leverage. I think Texas, if I had to guess where this came from, I would guess Texas, and I would guess for that reason. To not only take the shine away from Texas A&M yesterday, coming off a great season at SEC Media Days, Jimbo's about to step to the podium. Texas saying, yeah, we'll show you. We'll get you at your own day. We'll take the. They're going to be talking about us instead of you. And then to do it now, to, again, try to build up leverage with the Big 12 and get more from that conference to stick around. Because the Big 12 can't afford to lose them. If they do, there will be no more Big 12. So, you know, they're going to say, sure, whatever you need. Don't go anywhere, please. Here was Paul Feinbaum on ESPN's Get Up this morning talking about this whole situation. Here's what Mr. Feinbaum thinks about this ordeal.
Yes. And while this thing still could be in play for everyone else, Greeny, it is my opinion that these two are moving toward the SEC. From what I've been told, Texas and Oklahoma reached out to the Southeastern Conference. They went through back channels through a law firm. And I think this thing is pretty far down the road. You know, why did it come out yesterday? It really doesn't matter. I think there was some selective leaking going on by one or two schools, maybe to try to derail it. But once Texas and Oklahoma made the decision they wanted to leave the Big 12 really was done. And it's just a matter of how quickly this thing moves down the track. I think it's moving very quickly. At this point in time, I think Texas and Oklahoma will come to the SEC. And everyone else is going to have to scramble, because if the SEC gets those two, then everybody else has to start reaching out and grabbing whatever they can.
That was Feinbaum this morning. I disagree that it'll actually happen. Now, it may be far down the road. They may have had communication. Doug Gottlieb has told the story before that when Doug Gottlieb worked at ESPN, I think it's a story about Rich Eisen. Rich Eisen's contract was up at ESPN. And he was in a hard-fought negotiation. And ESPN wasn't giving in. So Rich Eisen went so far, he even packed his office. He packed all of his things, took all of his, and said, all right, I'm out of here. My contract's up, whatever, next week, tomorrow, whenever it was right up against the deadline. He already packed his office, and he said, all right, that's fine. You don't want to, you know, give me what I'm asking. When my contract's up, I'm out of here. Anyways, long story short, that was the breaking point. ESPN's like, oh, boy, like he's moving out. He's really serious. And they gave him what he wanted, and he stuck around. And my point being, with the Rich Eisen story, my point being that you can go all the way to the one-yard line and still not follow through, right? So this may be far down the road. I'm sure they've had communication, all that sort of stuff. Doesn't mean still that it's necessarily going to happen. When push comes to shove and it's time to sign your name on some sort of dotted line, some sort of contract, you're choosing between the SEC and the Big 12, the Big 12 can swoop in and say, hey, we'll give you this, this, and this, exactly what you're asking for, and okay, we'll stay put. So even if it's, quote-unquote, far down the line, Feinbaum thinks it's going to happen, if I had to guess today, I don't think we will get Oklahoma and Texas in the SEC. But that's just my feeling. Now, I did find the quote from Greg Sankey, SEC commissioner, who yesterday, when asked about this, he said, quote, we are only worried about the 2021 season. Somebody dropped a report from unnamed people. That was all he said. Which, again, to me, tells me that there is something going on behind the scenes like Feinbaum reports. That classic, hey, we're only worried about the 2021 season. Like, again, you step out on the missus, you come home, she catches you, and you say, hey, I'm only worried about what's for dinner. We're not talking about that right now. Let's just talk about what's for dinner tonight. when you could just simply say, no, that didn't happen. Sankey could simply say, no, we haven't had any conversations, and said, hey, we're only focused on this year. Oh, okay. Well, to me, that means there is something going on. But it doesn't mean those two teams will necessarily ever join the SEC. Now, this is a hypothetical that would never happen. Because of contracts, there would be lawsuits. No SEC team would just be willingly thrown out of the conference or willingly leave. No SEC team would ever step aside and say, here, Oklahoma, come take our spot. It would never happen. So this is all strictly hypothetical, all right? I'm not telling you this is what's going to happen. But I did think it was an interesting question that popped in my mind this morning. That if the SEC did have to remove two teams in order to make room for Oklahoma and Texas, who would those two teams be? Now, immediately I jumped to Vanderbilt because football, again, is always the most important sport. Vanderbilt is a joke as a football program. Basketball isn't anything. Basketball, they're one of the worst basketball programs. But, of course, Vanderbilt's saving grace is baseball. They have the second most championships, national championships, in the SEC. And the SEC is maybe the one conference where baseball still is a very important part. If we were talking about, like, the Big 12, who cares what the baseball team's doing? Right, but the SEC, I do think that carries a lot of weight. So Vanderbilt, that would be their saving grace. But if you had to remove a team, I think you remove Vanderbilt. Now, Kentucky would also be another one that popped in my head, but because of their basketball program, football's getting better, I think you'd want to keep Kentucky. Because when it comes to basketball, that's all the SEC has. And historically, Kentucky is maybe the number one college basketball program. And their football has gotten good enough. It's, you know, been an average program, 500, that I think you could bite the bullet to make sure you keep their basketball around. I also thought of Missouri, because Missouri, there's not a ton of tradition or history there. They're one of the newer teams, and they're just kind of average in all sports. Right? Like, they had a couple of good football seasons. I think they'll be pretty good in football this year, but you'll be fine without Missouri. You were without them for a long time. Basketball, you won't miss Missouri. Even baseball, you'll be okay without Missouri. I think Missouri. But I also think South Carolina is pretty high on that list of, if you were going through the SEC saying, okay, we have to remove two teams to bring in Oklahoma and Texas, who could we remove? My mind immediately jumps to Vanderbilt. Kentucky came up next, but I thought, I think basketball's worth saving. Missouri doesn't really have anything to write home about. And then I went to South Carolina. But South Carolina is similar to Vanderbilt. Now, football, there's tradition there. Great fan base, passionate, all that sort of stuff. But they're not competing for national titles. Basketball, they had that Final Four run, but historically basketball hasn't been great. But, of course, we know about South Carolina's baseball program and the couple of national titles. So they're much like Vanderbilt, where that may be worthwhile to keep around. But if you had to subtract two teams from the conference to make room for Oklahoma and Texas, I think I'm saying Missouri, and I think even with their baseball program, I would still chop away Vanderbilt. Because football is an abomination, basketball has been pretty awful lately, and baseball, I know they're a great baseball program. They always develop great pitchers. They had a great year this past year. I mean, incredible year. They had two of the best pitchers in baseball. I thought they were going to win the College World Series. Baseball's big in the SEC, but the other two sports, I don't know if they carry enough weight to make it worthwhile for the baseball team. Maybe I'm off base, but I do think it's interesting. If you had to remove two teams from the SEC in order to take Oklahoma and Texas, which two teams would you be most willing to cut? I feel pretty good about Missouri. And then I think I go Vanderbilt, but that second team will be hard to choose. South Carolina, I don't think is too far away. Coming up, is Clemson's biggest concern, because I've heard so much about this the last couple of weeks. Is it really a concern this year? We'll get to that coming up. It's the More Midday Show, right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Yo, what up?
What's the word, big fella? Everything's good on this end.
Hey, Luke, how's it going? Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, Luke. Hey, man. Pleasure to be on your show.
Great show. You're doing a good job.
You're turning into rapidly my favorite person I've interviewed with, and I've done like 50 of these in the last week.
You've done your homework. I like it. I absolutely like it. I love that.
Another great thought.
You've done your homework, haven't you? Good job.
You've always get these big stars and important people on. That's great to hear, and we like to hear the interviews.
You know, it's uncanny how you do this, Luke, and I don't know how you do, because I do this gauntlet of radio on Thursdays, where I do all these different cities. Many of them need their hosts to have me give them some talking points. You hit all my talking points every week. It's uncanny how good you are.
Always great talking football with you, Luke. Appreciate you guys being right.
Very impressive.
Shout out to all the people in Tulsa that support the show.
Tell your friends. Tell your friends.
Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Go ahead, boy. That's why you bring it on.
Is this a sports show or a dancing show?
I don't know. Sometimes I don't know what we're doing around here.
Lunch with Luke for 3 hours, anything goes.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Standing in, I know I'm not the one you love, I'm just a friend. I've got the shoulder that you cry on every time he leaves you all alone. But I wait in line till the day you find that I'm the one.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Catch up with a member of the Charleston Battery in about 20 minutes at the top of next hour. We've been talking all about Oklahoma and Texas and this report that they may join the SEC when finally having the opportunity. If the SEC were to become a 16-team conference, I mean, you could stick with the 8-8, you know, play 7 conference games within your own division, and then you'd, I guess, just have one cross-division game or cross-conference game each year, and then you take the winners of each. But the better option may be break it into 4 divisions of 4 teams. Then you play your 3 teams every year, and then you rotate with the other 4. It's like in the NFL schedule we were talking about the other day. And so just let's just say you have an SEC North Division, South Division, East, West, just to make it easier for the sake of this conversation. And if you're in the North, right, you play all the Northern teams, and then you play the East 1 year. Then the next year you play the South. Then you play the West. And so within that kid's 4 years at that school, he'll get to play every team, all 16 teams, at least once in the SEC. And then what would be really interesting is you have your own little SEC playoff. And they probably wouldn't go for this because it would be more games, but you just limit regular season. I would love this. It would never happen. But I would love go to 4 divisions, 4 teams each. You do that little schedule move I just said, and then you take the winner of each division and do a 4-team playoff within the SEC for the SEC championship. And you take the 4 winners of each division. They play each other. Then the 2 winners advance to the SEC championship. That would be great. That's what I would love if we ever get 16 teams in the SEC. And imagine an SEC playoff, its own little playoff, with like an Oklahoma, a Georgia, an Alabama, and then, you know, Texas and Oklahoma would probably stay together, so they both couldn't be there. I don't know. I don't know who that 4th team could be. Say Florida for the sake of this exercise. Imagine that. SEC's own playoff just for the SEC title with Oklahoma, Alabama, Georgia, Florida. It would be incredible. I don't think that would ever happen. But then we're talking about too many games. College football playoff is already expanding. The SEC wouldn't want to give up any regular season games, so you're still playing 12 regular season, then potentially 2 for the conference title, then potentially 3 in the playoff. We're talking about a, you know, 17-game schedule. Ah, maybe. But that would be a lot of fun if this ever happens. I don't know if it will. Just my personal opinion, reading this story, maybe I'm just a cynic. I don't see it occurring. I think it wouldn't be good for college football. Now, they don't care. Texas and Oklahoma just wants more money or a better opportunity. The SEC, same idea. They just want to strengthen their conference, more money. I don't think it would be good for the overall health of college football. And I, just my feeling is just that it's a leverage play to get more out of the Big 12. But we'll see. When push comes to shove, maybe they will take off and join the SEC and make the best conference even better. 843-721-9500 to join the conversation. We'll get to Clemson coming up. Plus Nick Saban with a response for Deion Sanders after we talked about that on the show yesterday. We'll get to that as well. But you can always join the conversation throughout the afternoon. Let's go to the phones because Super Dave is with us. Dave, what's going on? How are you?
What's up there, Luke?
Not much. What's going on?
I think it'd be good for football, like you say. You know, I think that each division has their own champion, and then all 4 go at it, you know?
Well, that would be a lot of fun. I think it would be great for the SEC, but I don't know if it would be great for everybody else in college football.
I'll see what it hurts. Shane Beamer used to be assistant coach because they'll count South Carolina out because Shane Beamer could be a great coach. It might take him a year or so to get the South Carolina developed, but he does have that experience of being like an Oklahoma assistant coach. So
yes,
he can do a lot for South Carolina's head coach. You know, he could bring them a lot more, motivate them. He'll know how to do all that because he did great at that youth conference. So I'm pretty sure he could be a great motivator for these kids.
Look into that crystal ball of yours, Super Dave. How many wins do you give the Gamecocks this year in year one of Shane Beamer?
Well, being that it's just Shane Beamer's first year.
Yes.
But like I say, he was assistant coach.
Yes.
At Oklahoma. He's got a lot of experience.
Right.
It's going to be a lot of improvement than Will Muschamp was.
Uh-huh.
But I think we could at least get 6 wins this year.
Okay, at least 6
Maybe
wins.
7. Who knows?
Ooh.
Maybe we go to a bowl.
That would be a good year for them.
Yeah,
all right.
Not a great bowl, but a bowl's a bowl.
Yeah,
you know?
Go to the macaroni and cheese bowl. What's looking in that crystal ball, what do you see? Does Texas and Oklahoma eventually join the SEC?
Texas, they will. Both of them are great teams. Oklahoma's getting that threshold of getting ready to experience and broaden their horizon to go to the SEC. So I believe that Oklahoma would be a good one to get in the SEC, and that Texas too, but that would be a great game on its own with Texas-Oklahoma.
Yes.
You know?
It always
so
is.
That would make the SEC even stronger, I would believe. And I think it's a great idea to broaden out, you know? Like any business, it's time to grow, you know, maybe grow into the SEC too.
Right. Well, we'll see. You heard it from Super Dave himself. That means it's going to happen. And you know what? I changed my complete opinion, everything I've said for the past 45 minutes. Super Dave tells us he thinks they will join the SEC, although he did seem a little noncommittal. I also think a little bit of it's like Morty Seinfeld in his impeachment. When he walks into, you know, the Jack and he says, "You don't have the votes." And then, of course, the old lady who Jerry called her, the old bag, she changes her vote. She remembers who Jerry was and she changes her vote and votes against. She votes to impeach Morty. But he walks into that room originally and says to Jack Klompas, "You don't have the votes." I think that would be the same idea.
Hello.
That's right. We haven't had a sign. I think we've gone too long without a Seinfeld reference. On a throwback Thursday. I don't think they would even get the votes. 4 teams have to say no. I think at least 4 teams would say no and say, nope, we don't want them to come to the SEC. We'll see what happens maybe in the next 5 years, 4 years. Coming up, we'll wrap up Hour 1 next. It's the Morrow Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Wrapping up Hour 1 here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. We'll get to Clemson coming up, plus Saban, some NFL thoughts. Member of the Charleston Battery will join us in about 10 minutes. Got plenty to do throughout the afternoon. We got a wrestling wrap-up coming up. But I thought this was pretty funny. They had the expansion draft last night for the Seattle Kraken for the NHL. And because it's Seattle, they brought back all sorts of Seattle sports stars. But none of them, they weren't hockey fans, and they didn't know how to pronounce any of the names. Now, look, I don't know how to pronounce half these hockey guys' names either. But like Marshawn Lynch, right, former Seahawk running back, was the one to announce the first pick. And he couldn't even say his name, so he called him, you know, some nickname. He even say his last name. I forget what Marshawn even said. And he didn't know how to call the guy, so it was kind of silly. You know, Sean Kemp was there, and poor Sean Kemp, not looking too good. He looked like he had a couple of basketballs under that shirt. And he was wearing one of those medium shirts last night. That was the big takeaway. Not anything about the Seattle Kraken or their draft. Everyone was just talking about Sean Kemp wearing a shirt that was far too tight. Too small, too tight. And Kemp is the Sean Kemp was a great player, incredibly athletic, all that. And then they had the lockout in 99, and it was just like a free-for-all, right? And he went off and had a little too much fun in his time off, came back to the NBA completely out of shape, and has been out of shape ever since. bounced around at the end of his NBA career, was not the same player, was quickly out of the league. And people pointed to that example last year at the bubble and the four-month layoff and everything. You know, make sure you stay in shape. Show up to that bubble ready to go. You have to pretend like this, the basketball season's still going on. Don't be a Sean Kemp. He went out. He partied. He thought, we're in a lockout. We're not playing. I don't have to worry about the season. And I was like, okay, we're getting back to work. Like, oh, really? Oh, shoot. I'm not ready for that. And Kemp was there yesterday. They gave him a Kraken shirt. I don't know if they asked for his size or they just gave him whatever they have. Looks like he's wearing a small when he should be wearing a double X or something. Quite the night for the Seattle Kraken entering the NHL. Coming up, we'll catch up with a member of the Charleston Battery next. Plus, some thoughts on Clemson. Nick Saban responds to Dion. We got a lot to do. It's the Moore Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.